with news, talk, and culture. I'm Carol Gervais.
And I'm Susan Wright.
And we're very excited today to have as a guest on our show, Charlotte Gerson. Charlotte is the founder of the Gerson Institute. Welcome, Charlotte. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. Would you mind explaining to us what Gerson therapy is and how it was developed?
Oh, the Gerson therapy was developed by my father, Dr. Max Gerson. He was an MD, and he started out as a regular doctor. He was trained like any other doctor, you know, diagnose and treat and drugs or chemicals or surgeries or whatever was necessary, okay? But he had one difference, one important difference. By the time he was through with residency, you know, he had very severe migraine headaches. And sometimes 2 and 3 days a week he was in bed and was nauseated and was unable to function and in a darkened room and, you know, the half-sided headache. And he asked his teachers and professors what could they do for him. And they said, nothing, just read it up in the book. And, you know, it's incredible. Well, you feel better when you're 55. But I'm 25. I can't live like this. Well, you know, the usual thing was learn to manage, learn to live with it.
Right.
But he didn't. He decided, no, he couldn't do that. He'd rather not live that way. Anyway, then he started on a long period of trek among other doctors, and he subscribed to journals in all various European languages. He lived in Europe at the time, in Germany. And, you know, nobody really knew anything on what to do. Until, it took a long, long time, he ran across one little obscure journal that was talking about a woman who had changed her diet and had got some improvement of her migraines. Diet? Diet? He never heard anything in school about diet. He didn't think of any of that either. Well, but he was willing to try anything by this time. And what he finally did, he decided that any baby can digest milk, and he might just be allergic to something he was eating, and he decided that milk would be something that would help him. And he went on an all-milk diet. Well, you can imagine what happened. Mm-hmm. He was just as sick as ever. And then he thought about it some more, and it occurred to him that after animals are weaned, they never ever drink milk again. So he sort of patterned himself on our supposed physical ancestors, and I don't want to tread on any religious toes here. And those were vegetarians. So he decided, he lived in Germany, and he decided that he was going to try that. And he ate nothing but apples for a while, baked apples and raw apples and apple juice. And with that, he was fine. No problems. And that was something new. And then he started to add one thing after another. If something didn't agree with him, he could develop a migraine in 20 minutes. So then he tried another thing, but he was now able to decide what agreed with him and what didn't. And then he developed what he called his migraine diet. Once he had that worked out and he was settled in his own practice, patients would come to him with migraines, and he told them, look, it's incurable, all the books say so. I had migraines, and I'm doing this, 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 and that. Why don't you try it? He never promised anything, just why don't you try it? Well, he found regularly that those patients who stayed with him and tried it came back and were well, had no problems. And they frankly said, look, Dr. Gerson, if we cheat and get a migraine, fine. until one patient came back and said, look, Dr. Gerson, the migraines are gone, but I also had skin tuberculosis, the so-called lupus vulgaris. And that is also healing. No, no, Dr. Gerson says, it's not possible. That's an incurable disease, and there must have been something else. No, the guy pulled a lab report out of his pocket, and he showed, no, they found tuberculosis bacilli in his skin lesion. Mm-hmm. My father couldn't figure it out. What did that have to do with migraine headaches? He was sure, you know, that's what they teach in school. For each disease, there's one treatment. Mm-hmm. And that's what he'd been taught. Well, so then he said, well, I'm specialized in internal and nerve diseases. I don't see such patients. Do you know others? Oh, sure, the guy said. Oh, well, I was in the hospital, and so on. So my father said, look, send me some. I'll treat them free of charge. I just want to know. And surely that's what he did. And he found that people, even without migraines, just with a skin TB, were recovering on his migraine diet. He couldn't figure that out. But this came to the ears of the famous lung tuberculosis specialist, Dr. Sauerbruch in Munich. And he ordered Dr. Gerson. He was just a little country physician, and Sauerbruch was a big professor. He ordered Dr. Gerson to come to Munich. This was, you know, and that was in the 1920s. He didn't fly. He took a train. It took 8 hours. But anyway, he came and they discussed this, and Sauerbruch said, okay, we'll test it. And what he did, he got himself 450 incurable tuberculosis patients. And he said, look, Gerson, if only one of them is arrested, he didn't say anything about getting well, is arrested, then I'll believe everything you said. So he started to give those patients the migraine diet. And out of the 450, 446 recovered, didn't get arrested, recovered.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's what my father thought, and that's what Sauerbruch thought. But then, you know, he was the big professor, so he published this under his name, and Gerson was way at the bottom. And on the other hand, my father wasn't satisfied with that. He said, if this diet can cure tuberculosis, skin tuberculosis, why not lung TB? Why not bone TB? Why not other TB? You know, a lot of young people in those days were dying of lung tuberculosis. And he started to treat others. Well, that started to come to the ears of other tuberculosis specialists in Berlin, and he was invited to show what he could do with those, with lung tuberculosis. By the way, the wife of Albert Schweitzer was also his patient for lung tuberculosis.
Oh.
And sure enough, in that clinic in Berlin, where they accepted only patients that were certified untreatable, he was able to help those patients, and they recovered. But, and this is where he really parted company from orthodox medicine, many of them had other problems besides the lung tuberculosis. Some had allergies and asthma, some had kidney damage, some had, you know, other problems in other organ systems. And those systems also healed. And that's when Dr. Gerson understood that he was no longer treating a disease. He was now helping the body to recover and to heal itself.
Wow. That's all we can say. Wow.
That's what he thought, too. And then he was invited to demonstrate this treatment before the entire German Collected Medical Association. And, of course, they tried to tell others that he was lying, and they tried to retouch his his pictures and x-rays and so on, which is totally impossible. And so he felt he had to get those certified by the top lung tuberculosis x-ray specialists in Europe who happened to live in Vienna, in Austria. And he crossed the border. At that time, Hitler had just come into power, and they pulled all the Jews off the train and sent them to a concentration camp. Now, my father just happened to talk to the young, you know, SA man, and he had this quality of fascinating people. And the guy forgot what he was going to ask. Never asked him if he was Jewish. He would not have denied that.
Wow, no accidents
and he
there.
He pulled all the other Jews off the train somehow at that point, and my father decided not to get back to Germany.
Wow, probably a wise choice.
Because, you know, one woman was saying, what about my suitcase? Oh, where you're going, you don't need a suitcase.
We're going to interrupt you for just a few moments. We're going to take a brief break.
Sure.
We will be back. You are listening to the show Food Integrity Now on TellerNetCast.com. We'll be right back. I'm on a show. Welcome back to Food Integrity Now on TellerNetCast.com. I'm here with Susan Wright, and we're interviewing Charlotte Gerson from the Gerson Institute, and she's been sharing this fascinating story about her father, Dr. Max Gerson, and his discovering how to heal diseases, including cancer and other diseases. Before we go any further, if you'd like to know more after this show about the Gerson Institute, there are a couple ways you can call the Gerson Institute. That's area code 619-685-5353. And you can call the Institute, that's Pacific Time, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Or you can go online and go to gerson.org. That's GERSON.org. And welcome back, Charlotte. You want to continue with your fascinating story of your father?
Yes, well, all of a sudden now, instead of being on top of his career and demonstrating his work to the complete medical. Now he was a refugee. He didn't have a license. He was alone, didn't have his family there, and so on. But all of this, you know, eventually came about. He never did go back to Germany after that. Never did go back into Hitler Germany. So then he started to also work with other types of patients, including, you know, other things like arthritis and heart disease and, you know, skin diseases and whatever people had problems with. In those days, and remember, this was still in 1932, 33. In those days, there was much less cancer. So he did not really get into that until later. And then he found there was a big difference between the chronic diseases that were responding so very easily and very well to the what he still considered his migraine diet, but to helping the body to heal itself with the proper nutrients, with the right living foods. And but it took a lot further studies before he was able to also do wonderful work with cancer. And of course, till the end of his life, he was able to cure advanced cancers of all types.
Mm-hmm. And how was he received by the medical community?
Not with a friendly smile. They don't like it. For one thing, they don't like to be told that somebody else knows better. They don't like to be shown, and that goes back for hundreds of years. But of course, especially once he got into cancer, cancer is such a huge, enormous business that anybody who dares touch it and who dares, change the approach of chemo, radiation, and surgery is being attacked with everything they've got. And he was being attacked.
How did he come about finding the difference between the diet he developed for his migraines and the diet he developed for cancer?
Well, he actually, before he ever left Germany, he had found that there was a patient who was asking him to write down a diet for her, and she came to him and said, "Look, I know you're a success with TB, but you know, I have cancer, and I have a stomach cancer, and it's gone into the bile duct." So my father said, "I have no idea at all. I've never had any patients of that type, and I can't treat you." "Yes, yes, you have to." Well, she made him write down his migraine diet in a sort of modified manner, and she recovered. But then he was never able to restore that, the idea. He was never able to do this with others until he worked and studied what others found. For instance, Sloan Kettering at one point found that when patients had high cholesterol, they died much faster than if they had low cholesterol. So he figured they can't handle fats. Mm-hmm. He cut the fats out of the diet and things like that. But he usually found the direction, but then he always combined it with what he knew already worked. Mm-hmm. So it was partly studying further and learning what others had found through research and with the ideas that he had already developed. He found also that cancer patients are much more thoroughly toxic. He said that chronic disease patients have a weakened, damaged liver. The liver is the key organ for healing. And cancer patients have a toxic, poisoned liver. Mm-hmm. And he learned to avoid these toxins, well, of course, mainly through food and the pesticides and fungicides and food chemicals and food additives and all of that. And he learned to use organic, fresh, living foods. And that made all the difference in the world.
So do you still pretty much subscribe to that same diet that he found so effective?
I hate to say it, but not pretty much, all the way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
His last book that he wrote about a year and a half before he passed away, his last book, A Cancer Therapy, Results of 50 Cases, he sets down his therapy very, very thoroughly and very carefully and really explains it. And we have been working with that book, except there are certain things that are no longer available, which we had to somehow replace. But basically, that is still the treatment we use, and with dramatic results, fantastic results. You know, people usually go to their doctors first if they have a problem or pain or bleeding or a lesion that doesn't heal, or if they suspect a lump or something like that. They go to their regular doctors. And if their regular doctors would cure them, we wouldn't be around. We would not be needed. But the regular doctors don't cure them. With a toxic diet, with a toxic drugs, with a toxic everything, they don't help the body detoxify and restore and rebuild. That's what the Gerson therapy does, where Dr. Gerson found that people are toxic with all the toxins in the air and the soil and the food and the water, the fluoride and everything else. With all those poisons in the body, you can't heal. You have to make.
And that's got to be so much more radical now, because when Dr. Gerson was alive, we didn't have near the amount of pesticides and toxins that we have now.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. You're totally correct with that. That is true. And frankly, you know, I always say we have to run to be able to stand still and get the similar results that he got. Mm-hmm. It is much more difficult now. Well, you know, pesticides didn't come in. DDT first started in 1943. My father started to work with cancer in the 30s.
Right.
And he didn't have those problems. Yeah. And chemotherapy didn't start in that at that time yet either. And we are now having to struggle with people who are further poisoned by doctors with a chemotherapy. And that ruins the immune system and the body's defense system that we have to reactivate. So there are a whole lot of new things that have developed that are not even in his original book. But the books that I have written in the meantime clearly show that kind of damage and how we get around it and how we are able to still clear and heal the incurable cancers.
How effective do you think chemotherapy is?
Well, let me not say what I think, but the studies they've made in Australia, for instance, show that of all the people who get chemotherapy, 2.1% have any kind of effect. 2.1%, which means 97.9% show no help at all, and only poisoning. Well, and you know about the chemotherapy brain and the damage to the immune system, the bone marrow, the damage to the blood, the damage to the liver, the lungs, and the heart, and all the organ systems. You can't heal with poison.
Mm-mm.
Chemotherapy was originally developed from mustard gas.
Really?
That's not a healing way.
Yeah. Logically, that... what you just said totally makes sense. And then the question begs, and we will talk about this in the next segment, why is it so pervasive, and why is it one of the ways that it is legal to cure, this is by the medical societies,
yes.
What they say, to cure cancer using the
well,
three ways.
Yes, well, it's illegal because it hurts their pocketbooks.
Yes.
Right.
So we're going to go more into that in the next segment, but we are getting ready to take a break here.
Okay.
And you are listening to TellerNetCast.com. The show is Food Integrity Now, and we're here with Charlotte Gerson, telling her fascinating story, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. I'm here with Susan Wright, and we are interviewing Charlotte Gerson of the Gerson Institute. And this is just an amazing story, and I'm so thrilled to have her on our show today.
Thank you.
Charlotte, would you explain what happened when your father laid his findings before Congress?
Well, he was invited to demonstrate some patients, recovered patients, and he did. And at that time, first of all, there were four MDs in Congress at that time. And the other thing was that they were very clear-cut. They made very sure that anything that was on the radio, anybody who would call in and want to talk to Gerson or find out more about it, they made it very clear that they would have to talk, this was all quackery, and that they would have to talk to medical association and so on. So they never even allowed the people to talk to him or to talk to anybody who knew anything about the therapy. And it still continues at this time that they do not allow any treatment other than radiation surgery or chemo. And there's in virtually every state, there's a law against treating cancer any other way. And if a doctor dares to use other treatments, they can lose their license and go to jail. And a lot of them have been condemned to jail for that. In other words, it's forbidden to treat cancer. It's unfortunately a multi-billion and trillion, actually, dollar business, and they don't want anybody to be cured. it's going to interfere too seriously with their income. Their income from chemotherapy, you know, it was originally derived from mustard gas, and it cost next to nothing. And anybody who's ever had chemo knows that a small shot, a few milligrams, can cost tens of thousands of dollars. Anyway, my father's testimony at the time before Congress was somehow mysteriously removed from the congressional record. Now, you know what kind of power it takes to do that.
Yeah.
In trying to, in working in informing people about Gerson therapy over the years, have you found a difference in how people receive it with all of the resistance that you have?
Yes, and that is very fortunate. People are beginning to wake up to the fact that chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery doesn't work. That when their loved ones get treated that way, that they die in misery and agony, and very, very, very few of them recover. And there are all kinds of falsified records. They accuse us of falsifying, but we have seen it happen in patients. Who wanted to show what was happening, and their records were falsified.
Mm-hmm. So you cannot... So, go ahead.
So it's very difficult. We cannot, for instance, work in the U.S. because it's forbidden in the U.S. to treat patients with this treatment other than the useless chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation.
So when people come to you, what state are they in? What have they already tried?
In almost all cases, they go to their regular doctor first. And in many cases, it's already too late, so that the regular doctor can't even use surgery or chemotherapy and sends them home, you know, with a hopeless prognosis. And that's the kind of patients we get. More than 95% of the patients that come to us are in terminal condition, sent home to die, either because the chemo didn't work and the radiation didn't work and the surgery had only temporary results with recurrences, and patients are further told that there's nothing more that they could do and to get their affairs in order. In other words, they were dying. That's the kind of patients we get. And then the medical establishment, they accuse us for not doing, publishing records. But you see, our records would show terminally ill patients who were rejected from all medical treatments recovering, and their records don't show that. They have none. Because once a patient is in terminal condition, by definition, he's dying. So they don't do records like that. Mm-hmm. So if we do records and we show 40, 50, 60% recoveries, what would that be compared to? To the mm-hmm. early patient's records. It doesn't make sense. We can't and we won't do that.
Mm-hmm. So you have to go across the border to be
we
able
have
to do
yes.
this.
Yes, patients have to go across the border. And then, of course, they do every kind of publicity and try to keep people from going across the border, to keep them coming back and talking about how they recovered. And we have now patients all over the U.S. and Canada and in various European countries and in Southeast Asia and in Tokyo and everywhere. We have patients who recovered on the Gerson therapy from terminal conditions of cancer, heart disease or other killer diseases, and they're talking, and the doctors and professors are using it, while here in the U.S. the doctors are saying, oh, it's all fraud, and then there is no records, but they can't prove fraud. They cannot prove fraud because there is no fraud. Okay, and we have something else too. There's a new science that has been developed. They call it epigenetics. And it's actually not new at all. 100 years ago, it was already discovered that even though you have a gene for a certain disease, and, you know, they now scare women about having a breast cancer gene.
Right.
Even though you have the gene, good nutrition, the right nutrition, the good, healthy, organic, vegetarian foods can make all the difference in the world. So we have seen, for instance, just recently, a young woman, well, she is past 55, who had very, very severe eye damage. She had only 4% of her vision left, and her doctors and all of that, you know, they told her that there was no cure and it was genetic. So we just showed her how to change her diet, and she now has 30% of her vision back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then we have seen others where, for instance, a girl came all the way from Australia with cystic fibrosis. Now, that's supposed to be a genetic disease, and she was, you know, constant lung infections and constant antibiotics and unable to grow, unable to study, and, you know, usually those patients die between the ages of 20 and 22, and, she was told that not to marry because she could never have children and things like that. Well, last time I spoke to her, she's now 31, and she has a, she's not only married, but she has a good, bouncing, healthy son. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, the so-called genetic diseases are not absolute, and there are able, we are able to overcome, again, with the right food, nutrition, detoxifying the body instead of poisoning it.
Yeah.
And so when people come, you put them on a very strict, clean, cleansing.
Organic, or all organic, all vegetarian, salt free, and nothing that's canned and jarred and pickled and preserved and frozen and otherwise treated with various chemicals, and nothing with aspartame, you know, artificial sugars and MSG, and all of these things are highly toxic and you can't heal with it.
Right. And so when they go and when they leave, they're on a modified diet, right?
Well, they're shown how to carry on the same as we do at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And those that carry on and are willing to do what is necessary, a large, large number of them recover. And these are terminally ill patients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just cancer. It's heart disease. It's arthritis. It's ulcerative colitis. And it's all kinds of other problems, too.
So this is a change of life. It's a complete change of how people live, how they eat. And
It's basically going back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way people lived like 200, 300 years ago.
Right.
It's not. It's only a change of the sick lifestyle that the Orthodox people promote, and that the pesticide people and chemical people promote, and the food processing people promote, and they make money.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it's good for you.
Right.
And children particularly, cancer is now the number one killer of children under 17. Did you know that? It used to be that cancer was the number one killer disease of children under 17. The number one killer was accidents. No, not anymore. It's now cancer.
Well, look at the diet that a lot of our young people are fed in our schools.
Young people, yes, and schools. And, you know, they are now promoting various drugs to 3- and 4-year-olds who are already high in cholesterol.
Yeah.
It's deadly.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and there's some, and it's highly addictive, you know, the MSG, for instance, in the chicken nuggets. The MSG is highly addictive, and children refuse to eat anything other than that.
I know, because they're
terrible food.
They're conditioned. And on that note, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Food Integrity Now on TellOurNetCast.com. And we have as our guest today Charlotte Gerson, and we will be right back.
I want to live, I want to grow, I want to see, I want to live.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. I'm here with Susan Wright, and we have been interviewing Charlotte Gerson from the Gerson Institute. And if you want to know more about the Gerson Institute, go to Gerson, G-E-R-S-O-N.org, or there's a phone number where you can reach a live person, and that number in San Diego is 619-685-5353, and that's Pacific time, 9 to 5. You can get all the information you need from one of those two sources. So Charlotte has been sharing with us the fascinating story about how her father discovered a cure for cancer and other diseases, and how she is carrying on his message, and that there's a Gerson Therapy Institute in Mexico, because it is illegal in this country to treat a cancer patient without using one of the three methods, which is chemo, surgery, and radiation, which I think is a crime in and of itself.
Yes.
Anyway, Charlotte, do you want to continue with some more stories about what the Gerson therapy can do? I think people would be interested in hearing about some more of the cases.
Okay. Well, the cases are enormously varied. And many patients, for instance, one of the ladies who was my co-author in the book I wrote on healing the Gerson way, she is now recovered 29 years from terminal spreading melanoma, and that's supposed to be a very quick killer. They gave her 3 to 6 months 29 years ago. Instead, she's very much alive, very well, has lectured on the Gerson therapy in Hungary, has opened a Gerson clinic in Hungary, and she is well and active and traveling and in wonderful health, and that's what matters, and that's the only thing we are really truly interested in. And then the other thing that usually happens with the Gerson therapy and with these patients, they are on the treatment. It takes time to fully restore and recover all the body systems. You can't do that with a pill or a shot, or even in a week or two or 5 months or anything like that. You can't do that. You have to restore all the organ systems so that they are able to function and remain active and well. So once people do that for any length of time, they don't want to go back to garbage food. They don't want to, you know, and they talk to their friends, their relatives, and they spread the word of healing. And, of course, the Orthodox people don't want us to do that, because that way they can't make money. And that's the only thing they're concerned about. Cancer is an enormous money maker and a tremendous, I don't know what to call it, method of cheating the public and actually killing, of course.
Okay. Charlotte, talk about the cost of health insurance versus the cost of organic foods.
Well, if I just take my own case, okay, I canceled my so-called health insurance with a sickness insurance. I canceled that when I was 34 years old. Well, I'm now 88, so that makes it, 54 years ago. Now, putting it all together, those 54 years, probably, you know, now it's much, much, much more expensive than it was then, but probably it averages out to at least $2,500 a year. So 50-odd years at $2,500 a year, I let you figure that out.
It's a lot of money.
It's over $100,000, right?
Right.
Anyway, for that money, I can buy an enormous lot of organic food. Also, You can factor in the fact that I don't need to go to the doctor. I have no drugs. I have no chemicals.
No copays.
I have no lost time at work. I, you know, all of that. And I feel good and I'm happy and, you know, I'm not depressed and I don't need antidepressive drugs and I don't need osteoporosis drugs because without milk and animal products, you don't have osteoporosis. My back is straight. I'm fine. I have no pain. People ask you, well, don't you have this or that pain? Why should I have pain? I'm fine. No, thank you. I don't have pain.
I love it. It is a choice, isn't it?
It is a choice, and it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
And if you choose, you know, my son had a coworker, and just the youngest fellow, he was in his early 30s. He was sitting in a wheelchair with multiple sclerosis. My son asked him, of course, he is very familiar with this therapy, too. He asked him, do you want to get rid of this disease? And he said, oh, yes, what can I take? You know, thinking of drugs, of course. And my son said, no, it's no drugs. You have to change your diet. You do this, 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 and that. And the guy, this young fellow, he said, what do you mean? I have to give up my Twinkies?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Well, you know what? He didn't. He continued his diet as he was doing, and he continued being ill, and the following year he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people are willing to die for their Twinkies, it's too bad. We can't help them.
Yeah.
Right.
If they're
willing to feed their kids the chicken McNuggets and take them for fun food at the McDonald's, we can't help them.
So healing requires a commitment from people.
A commitment and discipline.
Mm-hmm. The commitment to change and the openness to
change.
But
you know, the discipline after a little while comes naturally because you don't want to eat this junk food anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't agree with you. It makes you feel sick. It, on the other hand, the good, fresh, living food makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And you can be satisfied and not overstuffed and miserable feeling and you're active. You know, the kids in school, the lunches they get, the meat and the hot dogs and all the garbage food they eat, and then they want to go out and play and win and games, and they know full well they can't win and they don't feel good, they feel sluggish. Mm-hmm. And they look for something that'll give them energy. Guess what? They find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's drugs. It's Coca-Cola. And pretty soon it's cigarettes. And it isn't very far from there to street drugs. And that gives them a boost temporarily.
Yes.
Until they get seriously ill.
Yes.
And it goes like that. It goes on from there. And then, you know, of course, then they damage their bodies and their livers and their health and it's all the nutrition.
Well, one thing I want to mention, too, in this last segment is I had the pleasure of watching both The Beautiful Truth and The Gerson Miracle. And for our audience out there, I highly recommend both of these. The Beautiful Truth is told from a perspective of a 16-year-old boy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like the title of the movie. It's The Beautiful Truth, and it's pretty, it's so simple, but we want to make it complicated.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there are people who are greedy.
Yes, well, with simple things, you can't make money.
Mm-mm.
You know, unless you alter stuff and add chemicals and appraise it, you know, for, I don't know, flavor, or you can just put it in the microwave or something like that. If you can't do that, then they can't make money.
Yeah.
And that's where it all hangs.
And so many of our young people, I was watching Jamie Oliver's show, Food Revolution. He was amazed. He took vegetables into the classroom, and many of the children could not identify a tomato, a potato, a carrot.
Correct.
They didn't even know what they were.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Which tells you
they, they're totally divorced from nature, totally, you know, just away. Nature doesn't exist anymore. And they don't realize to what extent our human bodies are dependent on nature, mm-hmm. on the food that nature provides. It's unbelievable.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left here, and I'd like you to just say anything else you want to say to our people that are listening out there. It's obvious you're really passionate, but I'll give it to you now.
Well, thank you. It's easy to recover your health. It's easy now. It becomes more difficult as people get sicker and worse. But it's clearly all dependent on your food and food choices, on keeping your body systems working with the best possible nutrients. And that's what we are trying to preach and trying to, you know, my book has been translated into 12 languages.
And tell us the name of that again, Charlotte, so
the name of the book is Healing the Gerson Way, Defeating Cancer and Other Chronic Diseases. A lot of people don't even know what a chronic disease is, what it means. They don't understand that so-called chronic diseases are incurable by definition.
Well, there's a lot of information that you can get from going to Gerson.org.
Yes,
watch
yes.
the movie, The Beautiful Truth, The Gerson yes. Miracle. And we wanted to let you know that this show will be archived not only at tellernetcast.com, but it will also be archived on foodintegritynow.org.
Wonderful.
And
okay.
People can actually go there and download this information, mm-hmm. Put it on your iPod or use it, you know. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Carol. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, it's been wonderful chatting with you.
Excellent.
And, you know, you were just incredible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The right thing, Teller County. Always keep right, except to pass. A friendly reminder from TellerNetcast.com.
Are you among the millions of Americans who have joined a gym only to quit in frustration after only a few months? Have you tried to lose weight or tried to maintain your ideal weight to no avail? Do you attend your gym regularly but just lack the motivation to achieve any results? Or have you hit a wall and can't quite break through a plateau? Do you feel that you give it your all in your workouts, but you can't seem to dial in your diet? If so, you need to listen to the Teller Fitness Forum and hear what your host, Dennis Warren, has learned in his 30-year career of training himself and hundreds of clients to reach their true fitness potential. Learn how a 20-minute HIIT cardio routine can bring greater results than a typical 40-minute grind, how what you eat and when you eat matters, and how to stay motivated to achieve your goals. In as little as 2 to 3 hours a week, you can change your life and your lifestyle. Each week, I will give you tips on how to achieve the results you want. I'll talk with other fitness and health professionals and athletes, and I'll answer your questions on nutrition and fitness. Be sure to tune in weekly to the Teller Fitness Forum so as not to miss a single show.